Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work. Hello, and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Grace, and I am here, as always, with my very plushy friend, Anas. How are you doing tonight, Anas?
Yes, we are surrounded by plushies, and I want all the Stormlight plushies, the Sprend plushies now, because that's kind of, I think, what started our plushie talk. I don't know if we've talked plushies, and I don't think we've talked plushies on the podcast, but...
No, I think in another timeline you bought all of the Stormlight plushies, though.
Yes.
In some Flickr world, I think you did.
That's probably what it is. But yeah, it's for people who are not able to see this, there are plushies around us, and they might come up as we talk. How are you?
I'm good. I have had a very busy weekend. I got to hang out with Wise One Shelley, who was in town, which is really nice. And it was someone's birthday too, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was.
But we are here to talk about something that's coming up very soon, which is JordanCon. And this is going to be my fourth JordanCon. I can't believe that. It's crazy how much time has gone by. And it will be your third. Yes? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to hype up JordanCon a little bit. We're both excited to go this year. And it's getting closer and closer. So we thought, in order to talk about JordanCon, we would bring someone onto the podcast that you have probably seen. If you've been to JordanCon, you have probably seen this person at every JordanCon you've been to. So we have with us the very wonderful Tom DeSimone from Dragon.
Yay!
Out.
Hi. Well, wonderful. Hi. All right, I'll take your word for it.
You are wonderful. Before you signed on, we were talking about how great you are and how you're just so nice and you just like are so positive. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Of course. So, you know, we were like trying to like, have you been to every JordanCon? I think that's the question.
Yep, this year will be 15.
Okay, wow. Okay, so I think we chose the perfect person to come talk to us about JordanCon. And to people who are listening who have not been or thinking of going, well, I think not this year because memberships have been sold out, although you could probably go on Facebook.
Yeah, there always is tickets available there. Like, there'll always be people posting like, oh, I can't go, and you know, like, please someone take this ticket, and they're pretty good about doing the transfers for them.
We're excited. What is it, 18 days to go or so, something like that
from today? Yeah, but by the time this comes out, it'll be,
I mean, is it April yet? We can't say that for another, maybe, I don't know how long for Tom, for us maybe less than 3 hours.
Couple but, hours.
Yeah. Yeah, so it will be April very soon.
You'll have a fool on the show for April Fool's Day if we turn over, if we're on for long enough.
So before we get into JordanCon, we always like to ask our guests how they found the Wheel of Time. So what's your origin story when it comes to reading the books and being part of the fandom?
How did I find the Wheel of Time? So prior to Wheel of Time, I was not a big reader. I probably had read like Goosebumps, and I think my only fantasy book probably at that time was The Hobbit, and we read it in school. And my best friend in fifth grade, his older brother, who was I think 10 years older than him, wanted to play the Wheel of Time tabletop game, the original one that came out, I don't know, 96, 97 or something like that. It was a D&D 3.0 it was based on. It's for those who play tabletop games, it's not a very well-balanced or well-made tabletop game, but it's fun and it's themed for the real time. It has a lot of fun art in the books, a lot of interesting information that is probably not entirely canonical, but he wanted us to play that game and we hadn't read the book. So he's like, read these books because I want to play. I want to play this game and have it set in the world. So that was kind of how I got introduced to Wheel of Time. And I started reading, like he gave me, I'm a little jealous because he has some pretty awesome Wheel of Time stuff. Like he's got, they sent out these like advertisement books in 1989 of like the first dozen or so chapters of the first book. And he has one of those. And that's what I read. That's like, I read those, that book while his brother was reading the actual full Eye of the World that he lent him. And then when he finished that, then he gave me the Eye of the World. And then I finished the book after that. But yeah, that's pretty much how we started. And then we immediately after we both finished, after the full group, there was like four of us other than him. His name was Keith, the DM. Once we all finished the first book, we started playing the tabletop game that summer. And I was a wolf brother.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. There are a couple of things that came to mind that I wanted to ask you. First, and more of a comment, just looking at your background, and the fact that, you know, you are forgive me, I don't remember your name, but you're a named character in the books. So if you're jealous of someone with regards to a Wheel of Time, like, swag and such, that's just funny to hear.
that's fair. Yeah, I mean, yeah. he's got a lot of stuff because you know he was collecting way before I was, but I think I won.
You're like, you may have that, but yeah. Are you in the mix?
Yeah. Bayard, the prologue character from Memory Light. Yeah.
What I do remember is that Bear dies, right?
Yes, in the Maria, man. She sent me the companion book. Yeah, and I was like, she's like, go to page. I forgot what page it was, and I was like, you son of a. I made it through the last battle in the book and killed me in the damn appendix.
You're like the opposite of Bella.
yeah. I think it says like, you know, it's a decent size like entry for Bayard, and then at the bottom it says, and he was eaten by a Trolloc during the last battle. The last sentence.
How did you get the name Bayard? Like, how did, because a lot of people who are in the books, they have similar-ish names to their name. So how did that happen for you?
They took my forum posting name from Tarvalon.net.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. So joined Tarvalon.net after the first Jordan Con, because my wife and I went there knowing zero, no bun. We knew nobody. And they recruited us pretty quickly to pretty much everything Dragonmount. I mean, I was already lurking on Dragonmount, but I didn't like posting the forums and stuff. But they recruited us pretty quick to like all the stuff. So like, you know, joined the whatever groups and clubs and stuff that there were on Dragonmount and Tarvalon.net. And then that was the name that I used, was Bayard.
The other thought I had was, you mentioned that, you know, what, first 12 chapters of The Eye of the World. Do you remember what color that book was? By chance?
Oh, man. It might have been that steam blue.
Okay. Because, you know, Brian, our friend Brian the Gleeman, has always said the first book he got from someone was The Eye of the World, but not the blue book. And it was not the two, you know, when it was split for like a YA re-release or something. And it
that came out way later.
Yeah, it was way later. And he said it was like 96, 97 or something. And he got this and it was like half of the book or like, you know, a few chapters of the book. And he's like, I have no idea what this was. And he's always mentioned that. So I've always tried to look for
it. It's real. It is real.
Yes. this is the sort of kind of trivia that's popped up the second time. So I have to believe it now.
I definitely read that book. I could ask him. I haven't talked to him in years. I'm going to message him and be like, yo, Keith, what's that book? But yeah. From what I remember, it was like an advertisement that Tor had either given out during a book show or during a signing or something like that.
Okay.
And that's what he gave me to start reading it.
That's pretty cool. So you started reading. You started playing the tabletop game. And you had Keith. Mm-hmm. Did this become like, I'm reading the books now with my friend, And there are other people, and I'm talking about these books as they come out. Did it become like a community of sorts that you had real people you talked to?
It was basically our tabletop group, you know, that we were the ones, the that was my original, you know, theory group. I think it was 96 or 97, so I want to say that's, if my Lysdexia doesn't kick me in the ass, I think it was Fires of Heaven, maybe, or
No, that's probably Crown of Swords almost, I would think. I think 96, 97 is Lord of Chaos, I think. Or 95 is Lord of Chaos, actually.
Maybe 95 is
Yeah.
Path of Daggers, maybe. No, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's Crown of Swords. It was either Crown of Swords or Path of Daggers, I think, was the newest book.
Okay, yeah.
So like we all pretty much we read at varying speeds, but my friend, the person who is my best friend, his name's Rob. We called him Hub. He went through a lot of nicknames. Don't ask. It's a long story. He and I had read probably at the same pace, like really fast. Like we blew through them. And we were probably the more knowledgeable of the group once we actually started it, which provoked, you know, many an argument with his older brother, who, he's got a bunch of, I don't even know, what are you, like, what are you in sixth grade? I don't even know, like 10, 11, something
10,
like
11, yeah.
that. Yeah. And then, you know, he's graduated, he's going into college, so he's, you know, he's got a bunch of like tw 11, 12, 13-year-olds, because there's a couple of older kids there, and you know, we're like debating Wheel of Time theories with him.
Did you go online? I know you mentioned you have your own group. Did you start going online, or what was, do you remember your first online experience?
Dragonmount, definitely, honestly, because like it was the most popular website
Yeah.
then. I don't even think Tarvalon.net existed yet. I think it was like 2 or 3 years later. And honestly, I didn't find Tarvalon until JordanCon. Dragonmount, you know, I lurked around. There was a lot of official postings there. So, you know, I followed the blog
Right.
and then Fairyland, which was, you know, Innkeeper Hatch's original website.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up Grace that people's names were used, or you know, likenesses of their names were used. And it's funny how Innkeeper Hatch only existed after the book. So there was no Innkeeper Hatch before. It was just
Yeah.
Right.
Hatch, or you know, from Theorland. So
Or the
there,
Tamerlan or
yeah,
Tammy.
yeah, exactly. So
Yeah, it was just
there's
the Tamerlan.
legacy afterwards.
There's actually a lot of name, like people have a lot. I don't want to say I have the best character appearance, but you know, 14 page point of view, just saying. No, but there's a lot of really cool what do they call them? There's a name, Tuckerizations. So that's the name for when you name a character in a book after a real person. I learned that also from JordanCon. They often authors will put in like the charity auction, like, oh, Tuckerization for upcoming book.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in the charity auction. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point. But like the one of the Amerlin seats of Tarvalon.net, she's got two characters actually. Well, not really. She's got a statue that's named after her forum posting name. It's like an ancient Amerlin statue that's like in a town somewhere, Ciri Sedai. And then there's one that's just her, Shannon. Her name's Shannon. And she also used to be the. I think she's stepping into a different role at JordanCon, but she's like an officer level at JordanCon for years.
Yeah, so speaking of JordanCon, it sounds like you and your wife went to the first JordanCon and you said you were recruited right away. So were you recruited onto the JordanCon staff at that time, or was that a later thing that you got involved with JordanCon?
Jimmy and Jen like to call Aaron and I, that's my obviously my wife, volunteer number one and number two. I'm number two, by the way. After opening ceremonies was over, which was fantastic, you know, we had a so the original JordanCon, I forgot the name of the hotel. It was in Embassy Suites, I think, also near where this is. It's all in the Alpharetta slash Atlanta metro area. They only had like one panel room that well, they had one large room that could get broken down into two smaller rooms, I think. So like it was broken into one large room for the opening ceremonies. There was like, I think 100 people there at the first one, or 130 people. And when everyone left, and you know, they were all talking, because a lot of them knew each other originally from the Dragon Con Wheel of Time track, mm-hmm. which is where kind of Jordan Con originated, because Jen and Jimmy Liang, the chairs of Jordan Con, also used to run that. So like, you know, everyone's going to talk to each other and like, you know, catch up and stuff like that. And there was like three people, including Jen and Jimmy, and Brandon, actually Brandon Sanderson, in the panel room still. And they were like cleaning up. So Aaron and I didn't know what else to do, so we started helping them clean up. And then that's pretty much how it started. The next, you know, like we volunteered. She was like, oh, thank you for helping. And then, you know, we just kept helping. We sat with Sarah Nakamura and her best friend Christy at registration. They were the registration team for a very long time. So we helped them do registration that year a little bit. That's when I joined Team Moiraine, because she's my favorite character and they were wearing Team Moiraine shirts. We helped, you know, reset the rooms after the panels and stuff. And then the next year they handed us volunteer badges and, you know, just gave us, they didn't have like hard and fast things like they have now, like this official volunteer schedule and you sign up and da da da. It was just like, oh, we need this, go do this. And it was, oh, we need that, go do this. Oh, go help this person over here. And it was just like running all over the place and just doing, you know, stuff. And that's kind of how it started. And then it, you know, slowly graduated into like staff positions at the con.
So you said, you know, you were volunteer number two, and up until I think maybe last year or the year before, you had this journey as, you know, staff at JordanCon. So what was that whole journey? What was your kind of official title now?
It started out as volunteer number two, I guess. And then I always just kind of helped out and I made friends with pretty much everybody pretty quickly. And they were starting to get more and more guests every year and they needed somebody to help with the schedule. Because at that time, our schedule, and this will really make anybody that knows how to use Excel or spreadsheets cringe, our schedule was just a blank spreadsheet with text in it.
That's terrifying.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Isn't that like pro spreadsheet? No, it's not it.
It had no formula, but it had no formula in it. So like everything was just like you had to manually sit and look through each cell for information, and it was like,
no.
Miserable to check for like mistakes and stuff. But at that time there was only like, you know, 10 guests. And then I think the last year that I did it, which was 2021 maybe, there was 55 regular guests, like quote unquote guests, but like I also handled the guest of honor, and when Marie and Harriet and Alan came, I would handle them, and Brandon Sanderson and his team, I would handle them. And like when anyone that did panels, essentially, so artists, vendors, program participants, which are basically the fancy name that we used to call like fan panelists and stuff like that. And you know, we would send schedules and make sure that they communicate with them, you know, mainly, you know, the most attention was given to obviously the guests of honor, Maria, Harriet, Alan, and Brandon. That's where like the most attention was spent, because, you know, they're the ones that that probably need the most time management for the convention. They have a lot of stuff to do. Maria is easy. Harriet was, I mean, they're all easy, but Brandon is easy personally dealing with him, but like he's very busy. So trying to like manage his schedule is rough. But once Emily came into the show, his wife, and she started managing his schedule, and he actually had a team of people, it started getting a little easier than just having, because he used to just come, it would just be him by himself,
right.
and maybe and Karen and Peter Alstrom, but that would be the only people that came. And he was, I mean, it was a different time. It was better in some ways, because like, you know, he would play Magic until 4 o'clock in the morning in the game room and just randomly do stuff. But then he would also be like miserable the next day, because, you know, he would sleep for like 5 hours. Brandon is not a morning person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we know this.
Yeah. But yeah, so then I graduated into doing the guest services, I guess. So like at the my title was director of guest services. So by the end, I was managing schedules and liaising between the convention and the guests and guests of honor and stuff like that, managing their appearance, flights, all that stuff. And also, I got to drive them to and from the airport occasionally, which was kind of fun. But yeah, it was a fun time, you know, working at the con. I got to do a lot of really cool stuff, and it's really how I did everything. It's really how everything started, like, you know, meeting everybody, Matt, Jason, Maria, Harriet, the Liangs, all that. How I know everybody is through JordanCon, pretty much.
Yeah. So now we still have JordanCon 15, 16 years later. Yeah. We have other cons now too, WalkCon, OkiriCon, OgierCon, SpoilerCon. You know, the fandom is blossoming into all these different factions, and people just want to spend time together and talk about the Wheel of Time. What do you think makes JordanCon still stand out from all the others? Like, what is special about JordanCon, and why should people still go to JordanCon every year?
The way I'll give you the pitch of JordanCon, how I used to do the pitch of JordanCon to people when I would tell them about it. So JordanCon is not a Wheel of Time convention. It is a fantasy literature convention that is themed for the Wheel of Time. And I don't know how many tracks they have now. I think there's still 8 or 9, depending on, it doesn't matter. But they have 8 tracks, and Wheel of Time is one of them. There's like 6 to 10 panels in each of those tracks for 3 days straight. And you could find anything you want there. There are people that have read all of the Wheel of Time books. There are people that don't like the Wheel of Time and are never going to read them. There are strict sci-fi, hard sci-fi fans that go every year and go to the sci-fi track and go to the Makers track, which is like, they teach classes on how to do stuff. You know, we've had pewter casting and stained glass making and all kinds of cosplaying stuff and things like that. But what sets it apart is really the size, I would say, and the type of convention it is. I haven't been to SpoilerCon yet. I haven't been physically. I've been virtually. I was virtually at MalkyrCon last year. I went to WattCon and then got COVID and had to leave early because that was fun. And I watched a bunch of it virtually, though, so that was fun. But the thing is it's, if you're a reader, JordanCon is a different kind of convention for you because there's 50-something authors there. So that's awesome. If you're into fantasy and science fiction, like indie books, most of the authors are small publishing house authors or self-published authors. I set up an author's alley when I was there like 8 years ago or so. And, you know, all of them are there selling books. So like, and some of them are really, really good. I mean, I haven't read obviously all of them. That's a lot of people, but like really, really good, like very enjoyable books. Three I want to call out specifically are Sarah J. Sover. I love her series. She does a book series that's a fae urban fantasy series. It's called Fairy Godmurder. And like the tagline is, "My fairy godmother wears combat boots." It's fantastic. Ellie Rain, who's great. She has like a gothic fantasy series. And Gerald Coleman, he has a beautiful wrinkly brain. Like he's an author, a poet, I think he's a PhD too, like just a genius with words. And he also has a fantasy series, which is pretty great. But then for aspiring authors specifically, they have a writer's track that, you know, teaches you how to write in any aspect and any way you could think of. Brandon does his lectures there. We have Tor Books has editors and publishers that go there, from like people from their publishing team and editors go there and help with the slush panel. We've had people picked up, like people that attendees, staff members that have submitted stories into the slush panel, that Orbit Books, Beam Books, Tor Books, which are pretty big publishing companies, you know, have picked up people for books from those things. People have started careers at JordanCon, which is pretty cool.
So, you know, when you mentioned the author's alley, I think the first year I went, I didn't even go to the art room place.
Yeah.
And last year I did, and I was like, this place is huge. It's like not like it's like many vendors, but like it's huge and just amazing talent. So I mean, there's, you're right, you know, if you wanted, you know, people listening, if you wanted to, you know, get to the pitch of what, why you should go to JordanCon, that was pretty cool. So yeah, you know, there's you're right, it's not just, you know, a Wheel of Time convention, there's so much more. And I think I wandered into, I'm trying to think, it's, you know, when you go downstairs before you go outside, there's like a thing towards the left away from where that restaurant bar is.
The gaming room.
Yeah. And I don't game too. So I don't know how I ended up in there. And I was like, whoa, there's so many people here and they're like having fun. And it was just, it was just crazy. It was just
24 hour board gaming room. They, the guy that runs the gaming track now, his name's Ryan Schneezy, I don't know how to pronounce it. His wife is awesome. His wife is also an author who goes to JordanCon. She's fantastic. Maggie Schill. It's 24 hours of gaming, and a lot of the JordanCon staff and Ryan himself bring board games as like a stock of board games in the room that you can be like, is it okay if I pick this game up and play it with my friends? And absolutely, go ahead. And like, you know, you need me to teach you? And he'll sit down and teach you how to play the game. And like, you could go in there and play Magic the Gathering. You could play Risk. You could play anyone that plays like tabletop nerd board games, you know, Zombicide, Takedo. There's everything and everything in there. I know people that go to JordanCon and spend the entirety of the weekend in that gaming room and never leave it.
I was going to ask that. I was like, are there people who literally just stay there the whole time that like, imagine, we like, never see?
I feel like Brandon would just do that too. Like
Brandon would.
He used to. I used to. So one of the things I used to have to do was like wrangle the guests of honor. And
like, stop having fun.
Yes. But the person I had to wrangle the most was Brandon. Like he was the worst. He is the worst out of the bunch with having, because he's so nice, he will talk to everyone and he will never end a conversation. Like he'll just like, he'll be like, oh, I have to go. Like he'll say that, but at the end of the conversation, like he'll wait till you say whatever you want to say or ask whatever you want to ask, and he'll answer it. Doesn't matter. But like, you know, we're standing there behind him like, Brandon, the panel started 3 minutes ago. I understand that you have to, that you have whatever hand of, I don't play Magic, so you know, you have land to play and monsters to kill, but like, you need to go to this panel right now because you're giving a lecture and there's no one there. But yeah, no, he would be there the entire time, mostly playing Magic, but like, that's where he got the ideas for most of his board games. And he did, I think in the past, when before one of the million board games for his properties came out, he had brought like a, not a test copy or a beta copy, but like an early edition of the game there. I forgot which one it was because it all goes together in my head. It's been so many years. Yeah.
Can you bring your own games and play them in that space? Or
absolutely.
Do you have to? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing you need to go into the JordanCon areas is a badge. Mm-hmm. Everything else is free. There's no other costs tied to JordanCon, which is great. That's another thing. Like, I think, and to the chagrin of the finance team and the communications team, who have been wanting to raise the price of the badges for years to be able to pay for things, you know, because like, JordanCon pays for things every year and like everything is covered. But, you know, it would be nice to be able to like pay for more stuff. And as the prices for things go up, you know, it gets harder. But the badge price for JordanCon, I think, has only ever gone up one time. And I think even when it's at its max, it's like $68, which is insane for a 3-day convention, especially for what you get. Because there's also the con suite, which is a huge thing. It's a big thing, apparently, I've learned in the years since I started doing JordanCon and then in turn other conventions. It's a big thing in Southern American conventions is a con suite and like having a really good con suite. So like snacks, hot meals, drinks.
I feel like, you know, people listening, the con suite equals food room.
In case you were wondering what it is, there's food there.
Yeah, lots of food. Lots and lots of food. So the con's over 3 days, but it's, I think it starts at 2 o'clock on Friday and ends at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So Friday, there's one hot meal and snacks and drinks all day. Saturday, there's two hot meals and snacks and drinks all day. And then Sunday is again one hot meal and snacks and drinks all day. And the person who runs it now, her name's Jennifer. She's amazing. She's an amazing person. She's a good friend of mine. And she does a really, really, really good job with it. They have like food, people that have like, you know, allergies and gluten, they always have gluten-free options. They always have vegetarian options. They always have certain options for things like that, that are more common. But the con suite is a big thing. And again, it's like $60, $70 for a ticket. And that doesn't cost any extra, which is a big thing, like, apparently for Southern conventions. That's a thing.
So, you know, you've kind of had the pitch, and, you know, there's other things, right? There's the poker tournament, there's like the charity auction. There's so many amazing things to
games, events, prizes, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the couches, right? Like just people, just to hang out. just hang out, you know. There's stuff happening outside of the actual con events. There's, you know, I feel like that the Black Tower pinning event, that's probably actually part of the con event by now. Maybe, I don't know if it used to be, but I think it is now. So there's like so many things like that to look forward to.
Yeah. The lobby area is always full of people 24 hours a day. Like you can go into the lobby at 4 o'clock in the morning. It'll never be completely free of Jordan Con goers. And then, you know, I mean, as you know, like most of the podcasters will be hosting like little lives and recordings and all kinds of stuff just in the lobby, you know, on a chair, on a couch, in the garden in the back, which is beautiful. Yeah, all over the place. The lobby area is still public area though. So sometimes there's a lot of interesting things that happen. Like a couple years ago, there was a defense, like the Sunday after the convention, there was like a defense contractor convention thing in the hotel. So like the Secretary of Defense was there, and like the head, like someone from the UN was there, and then, you know, us.
Yeah, I think there was this past year, I feel like Sunday there were people, or maybe it was Monday, there were people arriving who looked like very business oriented. They were all like dressed very, you know, very well, very elegantly in their business casual like suits and blazers and stuff. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but it's good that we're heading out while they're coming in, because I don't know how we would have melded together.
Like someone in shard plate going past,
in
a suit. There's in a power Mario suit.
And a mist cloak and the Secret Service.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the outside area. I feel like that is a, I want to say a hidden, but like you could go through the whole convention and never step outside. You should not do that if you're going, because no, it is,
it's beautiful.
I
it's
am
honestly
not,
like my favorite thing.
I am not an outside person at all, but something
I'm
about,
an indoor cat too.
Yeah, but something about the, I don't know if there's like a fountain or something. There's like the,
yeah, there's
water,
a little waterfall.
There's white noise that is perfect for someone like me. Like who just likes that kind of noise, and especially as it gets darker, it's even more perfect.
I've been arguing, like, since it's not a convention area technically, like we can't do anything with it, but I've been wanting for years to just unofficially call it the Ogier Grove, because that's what it is. Like it's literally like you have, it's the perfect example of an Ogier Grove in the real world, because you have this building, this very modern, like, you know, think of like a palace almost building, you know, around this beautiful, lush living garden with like a waterfall in it and trees, like full grown trees, like not like a little dinky sapling, like a tree in it. And it's big. It's very big. You could walk through it for about 20. I think it's like if you walk at a normal pace, like a 20 minute little walk around, and it's not all level ground either. You're going up little hills, like on most of it's on steps and stuff. It does get a little dangerous. So I would say if you do go out, make sure you're not inebriated and watch your steps, because it can get a little slippery out there. But It is beautiful. And it's either a fountain or a waterfall that's in the back. I can't remember.
It's like a little waterfall, I think.
Yeah.
You'll often find out there people having like the little unofficial parties. So like, you know, you'll have meetups out there. People will be like, Tarvalon.net does their toasts out there. So that they'll be out there and you'll see like just a group of people mostly doing shots and drinking. But, you know, doing toasts, BarCon, which is, there's a lot of mini cons within JordanCon. So CouchCon is just basically everyone hanging out on the couches at all hours of the day. And then BarCon is what the authors usually call when they gather at the bar after paneling is done at any con that they're at. Mm-hmm. And inevitably that bleeds out into the garden area. So you'll just see groups of people out there and everyone, the really good thing about JordanCon that I think, and I'm not like I've been to maybe 10 or 12 different conventions in the South and in the North, because I've been to a couple in New York and like smaller conventions, not big Comic-Con. Like I've been to Comic-Con and DragonCon, stuff like that, but conventions like JordanCon size, you know, between 500 and 1,000 people with panels and stuff like that. JordanCon is probably the most welcoming of all of them that I've been to personally. JordanCon, and I mean WattCon also, but it's the same people. Like they're just in a different state now. Like, you know, obviously they're two very different conventions, not run by the same people, but the attendees and the people that work there are the same people that you'll see at the other Wheel of Time conventions too. So like the Wheel of Time community, as Rafe said, Kathy, the CEO of Dragon Mountain, and I got the chance to interview him. We are statistically the best fandom. And I really think that's true. Having seen a lot of the other conventions and a lot of the other fandom meetups and stuff like that, the Wheel of Time is generally the most welcoming to strangers and newcomers and, you know, fresh people, which is why I was so excited about the show coming out. Was the thing that was most exciting for me was getting a whole new group of people into the community.
So, you know, the lights work has its origins in the Ogre Grove at JordanCon. So we had, you know, as you mentioned, you know, BarCon and these other smaller cons, we had 3 years ago now, right? Mm-hmm. What we call Picnic Table Con. So, you know, there's a group of people who sat down at a picnic table on a Saturday night. And basically, I was like, so, tell me, like, what's your origin story in the Wheel of Time? And then, you know, a year or whatever later, we came up with this idea. So, yeah, it's a really, really good, fun experience. And there's so many smaller pieces to it that are, again, outside of the actual con event.
Yeah, official programming, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned Rafe's comment about being statistically the best, and yes, we like to talk about that. We made a T-shirt that says that. you can get it on thelightswork.com if you want one. But we absolutely agree with that. Even before Rafe said that, we felt that way, and that's why we started the podcast. Just because we've felt like we met some of the best people we've ever known, some of the kindest, most compassionate, generous people. What do you think makes the fandom so special? Like, why are we that way?
I want to say it's the content of the Wheel of Time itself. And that's not to say, like, I don't want to get too far ahead and say, like, you know, there aren't any, you know, negatives to the fandom, you know, either. Because something that we ran into actually at JordanCon, which is it's an interesting aside, I think, you know, because it's so friendly and because everyone talks about how like it's a family and everyone is so happy and like, you know, it's so good, a lot of times when things do happen that are not, you know, the greatest, sometimes people felt bad about reporting them because like, oh, I don't want to be the first one. No, you won't be the first one. It's still it's still people getting together. There's still all the issues that come up with that. But generally, percentage-wise, it is a great gathering, and I think it has to do with the content. I think it has to do with the content of the Wheel of Time. It attracts a different type of person than a lot of the larger properties do. You know, it wasn't a niche fantasy series even before Amazon picked it up. It was a very popular fantasy series, but if you didn't read fantasy, if you weren't an avid reader, chances are you probably didn't hear of the Wheel of Time. before that, you know, like if you know, you're just a regular person that doesn't read at all, like you know, you may have heard of like The Lord of the Rings. It's probably the only fantasy book you ever heard of. But as soon as you start reading fantasy, it won't take long for you to hear of the Wheel of Time. And within the fantasy fandom like groups, from what I've seen, the Wheel of Time fans generally are just the nicest and most welcoming people. And I honestly, like I said, I think it has to do with the content of the books. It just tends to attract a different person.
Yeah. A lot of our guests have said something similar to that. It's just something about these books and the characters in the books and the way we accept their flaws. And so we do the same for each other. So yeah, that's the piece about the books. Do you feel like the fandom has changed at all since the TV show came around? Like, because you've been there from the beginning. So do you think over the years it's kind of evolved into something else?
I don't think so, to be perfectly honest. I know there are some people that probably would say that it has, but I think for the most part, it's just gotten bigger. For like, so I'm in a weird position because it's like, I am part of like the old guard of the JordanCon convention people too, but then also kind of like part of the Dragonmount New Guard content creator group too. But there's a distinct difference between like the new guard and the old guard, I want to say, of like the content creator groups like us, and then like the old convention, strict convention goers that never really participated in any of that stuff. Technically, TwatCast has been around since like the second JordanCon. So like, I think officially, and Joe's probably going to smack me because I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure they've been around since the second or third JordanCon. So they're probably the oldest content creators for, you know, Wheel of Time nonsense. But it's brought like the content creators like us, I think we've brought in like just an interesting group of people that would have otherwise probably not have come to the convention. And now we have this whole new revitalization of JordanCon itself, and then this type of convention also. So like the seeing WattCon pop up and be populated with mostly content creators, and then also now we have authors bleeding in. And I know like last year they had like two track rooms or three track rooms, and now they're thinking of expanding, and like, you know, they're getting other guests interested in going, and you know, they're, and now Guy Roberts is going all over the place because he's so excited to like talk to fans and stuff. I love him, he's awesome. But for the most part, I would say it's just gotten bigger. I would say for overall better for it.
Yeah, I was thinking from what you're saying, it sounds like it hasn't so much changed. It's just been added to. Like, it's just bigger now.
Yeah.
Reaching everything, more people.
Yeah, everything is still the same in the respect of JordanCon of old, but now it has this new part of it, and it's great. I love it. I, for one, love it. I love seeing, I love going on the journey of new people, like, I know on every show there's a couple of people that I've seen, you know, when I've guested or talked to other content creators about this, but people who have found the books after having seen the show, which is great. I love going through that journey with people. There's one person I could think of off the top of my head that I know of who I see on Mondays a lot. Her name's Arosa. She's also from New York, which is great. She started reading the books after the after she saw the show, and she is voracious. She read them all in like I think it was like 3 months or something like that. And I'm a little jealous of those people because, like, you know, they don't have to wait at all. It's such a different I don't know how to explain what that experience would be like, you know, having to wait and like, you know, chew on all of this for so long, for so many years, and then, you know, be able to binge it in like one sitting. Not that one is better than the other, but it's just very, very different. Yeah. So it's just an interesting juxtaposition there. But going through the journey with new people is one of my favorite things. Like, anytime I've ever introduced people to the book, I'm like, listen, If you want to, if you ever feel the need to Google something for the Wheel of Time, don't do it. Just don't, because you're going to see spoilers. So if you ever want to look something up or want to know something, just text me. I don't care what time it is. just text me and I'll be your Google. Like, just type whatever you want to type into Google just as a text to me and I'll answer you.
I love that. Yeah, so you mentioned this new wave, and you talked about content creation and how you are also part of that with the work that you do at Dragon Mount. So maybe we could take a little excursion away from JordanCon for a moment and talk about your work at Dragon Mount. How did you get into that, and sure, what's that all about?
So I've known Jason since I met him at the first JordanCon, but like I probably didn't know who he was when I met him at that time, and he probably doesn't remember me from that time, but like I have pictures from that first JordanCon so it's become like a theme, not to go back to JordanCon, but it's become like a theme now that there's a skit at the beginning of every JordanCon. At that first one, he was part of it. So a lot of the pictures that I have of the opening ceremonies is him standing in the front of the room. Baby Jason is what we call him, because he has hair, which is, so it's very, very different. And Harriet has color in her hair, which is also very different from now. And like Brandon is who we refer to as Baby Brandon, because he's gone through a lot of iterations of himself too. You know, this is a short sleeve button up flannel shirt, nerd shirt Brandon prior to, you know, mm-hmm. the leather jacket and now the blazer. Mm-hmm. I met everybody at that first JordanCon. I became better friends with everybody over the year in between one and two. And then by JordanCon 3 is when I like really like started going into everything. Like that third year, was it the third year? When did Towers of Midnight come out? So 2009 was Gathering Storm. So it had to be 2010 or 11, somewhere around there. So this might be, not to burst anyone's bubble, but they did like an event where it was like, you know, submit an essay and you could become a tower guard or a storm watcher or whatever, and like help run the signings for Brandon and Tor at the local, at your local shop. Yeah. I mean, that was true. And most of the people that were there were people that submitted essays, but at every single one of those that I saw pictures of and knew about, I saw familiar faces. I saw people's faces that were tower guards or storm wardens or whatever they were called, memory keepers from Memory Blight, that were like, you know, part of the, no, I don't want to say in crowd either, but part of the people that like know each other personally that were like JordanCon staff members. So like I was the whatever person at like, you know, the head of the fan people at the New York signing. Jen and Jimmy were the head of the fan people at the Georgia signing. And like, you know, there were like, and all of the other ones, there's like, there was somebody from that state that we all knew that was at those signings. But that third year I did that. And then that's when I kind of got into deeper into the fandom. So like, you know, I went to the tour offices. I met with Tom Doherty and Brandon and Harriet, Maria and Alan. And we had lunch and then dinner and we did the signing. And like, then the next year at JordanCon, I was part of staff and I did the thing and I met Jason. And then cut to, I guess the year before COVID, I want to say. And Jason is like wanting to bring Dragon Mount up back from, because like Dragon Mount was a forum and it still is, it's a forum posting website. The forums are still active, which is surprising for any website that has forums, you know, to you know, he made a Discord, which was very, very big. Ooh, for him,
ahead of his time.
Yeah, we joke with Jason, we call him the oldest Gen Xer that we know, because he really is. I love him, but he's the oldest Gen Xer that I know. But yeah, so like, you know, he made a Discord and he hired Kathy as his like second in command, Kathy Campbell, who's the CEO now. And then they got together and they were like, we want to start, you know, a content creation type thing. And apparently they thought of me, Kitty Rallo, who is, mm-hmm. she does mostly our TikTok.
The TikTok,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ebony, who co-hosts with me on the Monday show and mm-hmm. does pre-recorded stuff sometimes too now. Mm-hmm. And apparently they wanted us to do this stuff. So they called, you know, they called Jason and Kathy, sent me an email, and then we're like, hey, we have this idea. I was like, all right, cool. And then we met like on a Zoom call or whatever. And the first, if you go back to like the Dragon Mount, like Dragon Mount has had a YouTube channel for a while, but if you go back to like 2019 or 20, like when we first started, the videos are just
the community
so bad.
Show. The community show, right?
The Dragon Mount community show. See, all right, here's a little behind the scenes. Jason originally wanted it to be like a hardcore news show. I think he pitched it as 2020, but Wheel of Time. And Kathy and I were like, no. Or 60 Minutes, but Wheel of Time. And we were both like, no. I was like, I can do Howard Cosell's voice as like a bit, but that's it. And, you know, then it turned into kind of what it was. But and now we're here. But yeah, they just kind of, I don't want to speak for them. And I am the worst at talking about myself in a positive light in any way. But I guess they liked me from, you know, knowing me at JordanCon. I did a lot of panels and they wanted me to do this stuff. So here I am. Nice. And then they keep me around. So, you know,
you mentioned Ebony, and I just wanted to mention she's also involved in JordanCon. She is the new member services director, and we had her on the podcast last year before JordanCon. So if you have not listened to that episode yet and you're new to JordanCon this year, please listen to our episode with Ebony, because she is so sweet and so amazing, and she will make you feel so comfortable as a new member. So definitely check that out. We'll put the link in our show notes as we always do with anything we talk about. But yeah, shout out to Ebony for being awesome.
Yes. Our empress, may she live forever.
That's right.
whenever you go to JordanCon, odds are she will be at the registration table. You will see her or a member of her team. Mm-hmm. Sitting right next to registration, welcoming all the new members, giving out ribbons for their badges, and you know, orientating people. She actually does like tour groups around Jordan, around the con. It's pretty great.
I went on one of those my first year. I went with Ebony on a tour because I was so nervous. It was my first time.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite memory from a past JordanCon? I feel like there's always so many fun ones. Like, I'm thinking of the little, I don't know, was it a possum or something that got in the lobby last year? Like, just little possum things like that. Do you have a funny memory?
So many. How much time do you want me to kill with this? Because I have so many.
Okay, maybe pick like your top two.
Top two. That's so hard, though. I hate when people tell me to do that. No, not really. It's just, it's so hard to do.
Wait till our questions.
Yeah, wait till the rapid questions. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. So, all right. So in the contract for JordanCon, they had a stipulation. They still have the stipulation, no other events while JordanCon is going. In the past, the hotel kind of ignored that and hosted other events a couple times. One was a prom.
Nice.
That was fantastic.
I feel like there was something 2 years ago.
Was there? Oh, well, but that was at the end of the con.
Okay.
They came in while the con was still technically going on, and they were like yelled at everybody, wanted us to like start breaking the convention down. And we were like, no, but yeah, no. But I mean, like, no, this was Saturday night during the dance party, a prom also. And another one was, it was a wedding. Yeah, another one was like a reception for a wedding. It was like, but that wasn't involved with the convention. It was a separate one. The wedding people were not fun. They didn't want anything to do with us, and they were like very strict about keeping us separate. The prom people, even the teachers, great time. Like, we didn't, for obvious reasons, no one went into like the dance room with the kids, but like the kids were coming out, and like, you know, it was the lobby, it was a public area, so people were walking around. It was the year, for people that have seen old pictures of JordanCon or have been to the old ones, it was the year that someone dressed as the Green Man. And I mean, he was 10 feet tall. He had stilts. It was crazy. So there's a lot of prom pictures of like groups of people, or like, you know, like couples. Like, it would be like a young girl would like take her prom picture with him. So it's like, and he kind of looked like Swamp Thing, kind of, you know, he's covered in vines and stuff. It was hilarious. But the specifically from that year, my favorite memory was we were hanging out with Harriet and Maria. And Harriet had to go to the bathroom, and she asked my wife to take her because it was a madhouse that Saturday night. So she went to the bathroom with Harriet, and they come back, and my wife is purple. because she's laughing. And Harriet is also laughing, but much more reserved because she's very proper. But she is also hysterical laughing for Harriet. And they recounted us a story of a girl, like a young teenage girl, yelling at her boyfriend, how much can I curse?
If you curse as much as you want, we'll bleep you if we need
Okay. She was like, this is why I broke up with you, because you're such an effing b-. And that's the girl telling the guy that. But that was Harriet recounting the story to us. So Harriet told us that. And it was just, that night was hilarious. But her telling us that story and hearing her say that was one of the highlights of my Jordan Cons. And then another one was, I think it was Jordan Con 2. We were this was before there was like a gaming room. So it was like after hours, we were just hanging out one of the panel rooms playing board games. And we ordered pizza. We ordered Domino's. And when the Domino's delivery guy came, we had like these big cardboard cutouts of like the book covers, like, you know, on the wall or whatever. It was like decorations. And he's like, Robert Jordan, I know that guy. Didn't he die? And we were like, yeah, he died a couple years ago. And he's like, what's this? And, you know, and we told him it was a convention, you know, books and shit. And he's like, can I stay? And yeah. And he like called his boss and was like, oh, I'm going to take the rest of the night off. And then he hung out with us and played board games. And then he came back the next day, bought a ticket and went to like panels and shit. And he came for a number of years after that. I remember seeing him. But that was like, you know, 10 or 12 years ago. But that was a fun like little thing that happened.
I love that so much. It reminds me a little bit of the bartender at WattCon. I can't remember his name now, but there was a bartender
Diondred? What did we call him?
Diondred?
That was his nickname, but okay. I can't remember his real name.
But it might have been Dion or Deandre or something.
Yeah, but yeah, we were really trying to recruit him to become a Wheel of Time fan. But yeah, no, those are great stories. Thank you for sharing those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, and I also got to dance with Harriet at the first Jordan Con. That was a lot of fun.
Aww.
Yeah. There was a live band at the first one.
So, you know, we talked about past memories, you know, and now that you're not actually part of running the con, right? And, you know, you haven't been maybe for a year or so. What do you look forward to when you go to Jordan Con? Like, what is your, like, you know, what are you looking forward to this year's Jordan Con? Other than, you know, obviously meeting all the people. But, like, what is that experience? Like, what do you, like, that's what I want to do or feel?
Honestly, it's the people. It's getting to see some of my best friends now. Like, my greatest, like, family. Like, honestly, like, I know people say that is, like, you know, shticky thing. But, like, there are, like, my chosen family I met through the Wheel of Time, Jordan Con, Tarballon.net, Dragon Mount. There were many people in our wedding party that we met through Jordan Con and at our wedding. The, like, we see them throughout the year that live all over the world. And often the only time we get to see a lot of those people together, at least, or at all, is at Jordan Con. So it's like, that is one of the biggest things for me personally, that getting to go do, and then getting to meet all of the new people is particularly really fun for me. Like, I really, really, really enjoy getting to see new faces and bringing new people into the fandom, whether it's through the content creation or just like snagging other people from tracks that are like, all right, I guess I should see what this Wheel of Time stuff is about, since, you know, the convention is named for this, I should go check it out. And then, you know, the next year they're like, I read all the books, I want to do all the things. I love the panels, though. I do like the panels. I like particularly like the game panels. Like, I obviously the discussion panels are great and I enjoy being part of them, but, you know, been talking about a lot of that stuff for like 20 years literally 20 years at this point. So some of it, you know, like, I like to participate in it and I like to hear new stuff, but, like, you know, looking forward to like theory discussion panels, it's mostly, I want to hear what the audience has to say. When I run a panel, it's mostly like, we're here for you guys. So, like, here's what the panel is about. What do you guys want to talk about? Like, that's how I always, whenever they put me as a moderator on a panel, I double check with the panelists to make sure that's okay with them. And then that's usually how I pitch, especially if it's a discussion panel, because I want to hear from the audience. I want to hear from them. I want to hear what they think. And then, you know, talk to them about their feelings and thoughts on the Wheel of Time. So that's kind of what I like to be a part of, you know, programming wise and stuff like that, other than the personal, you know, aspect of getting to see, like, you know, friends and family again.
Are you moderating any panels this year?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't gotten, like, my official schedule. Like, I know I'm doing Watchinery and whatever Twatcast is doing. They always put me on whatever they do. But other than that, yeah, I think I might be on a couple of discussion panels. I'm participating in the opening ceremonies because in addition to the guests of honor, artist and author, there's kind of like a fan guest of honor, like someone who's been a part of the fandom for a long time and is a fan of the Wheel of Time or part of the group, and that's the Toastmaster. So the Toastmaster of JordanCon is always like somebody like that. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. in the past, it's been Jason, Matt Hatch, Twatcast. Mm-hmm. This year, it's Kitty Rollo, but not as Dragonmount. She's going just as herself. And her bestest friend in the entire world, Alina, Jack, if you've been to any JordanCon that they've been to, you've seen them. Mm-hmm. And, like, because they are very memorable. They have a thing that they do where they dance around in Bella costumes. They are always very loud and vibrant. And
wait, are they the ones that wear the big unicorn costumes?
I don't know if they've done that before.
I feel like there were at least two years that I saw.
They might have.
Two people in these giant, like, inflatable unicorn costumes. And it was the best thing ever.
I would not put that past the two of them. I promise you. I've known them for also like 20 years. So, like, I would never, like, yes, that would probably be them. But they are very boisterous. And you will know that they are there when they are there. But they are the Toastmasters this year. So I'm involved in the opening ceremonies with them. I think at least one other panel that I know of. And then, you know, whatever they put me on. But I'm sure I'll post like my schedule or whatever later. But I'll definitely be part of Watchinary and definitely be part of whatever Twatcast is doing for sure.
But yeah, no, I think the panels are, at least to me, not an afterthought. But they're, if you're first time course, right? If you're thinking, you know, you want to go to, have a schedule, that's good. That's if that's how you roll. But definitely give yourself time to decompress, because there's, you know, a lot of people, mm-hmm. and, you know, that kind of stuff. But to do things that you are not planning to do, because there are things mm-hmm. that would just you might experience that you might like that you don't know you'll like until you're there.
Yeah. I would just say go with the flow. Like, you know, if you feel, you know, like if you like, obviously, yes, look at the programming that's available. And if there's things that you definitely want to go do and see, make sure to do them, or at least, you know, have them in mind. But mm-hmm. don't tie yourself down to like a specific schedule before you even go. Like, if something comes up and it's like, oh, this sounds like it might be a good time. Yeah. Go do it. Like, yeah. Shenanigans can be fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't believe it. Can I retcon one of my good memories to one that I just remembered?
Of course.
Because I said shenanigans. I can't believe I didn't bring this up before. So I was Jesus at a reenactment of the picture of the Last Supper. one of the years, the woman, Jennifer, who was the person who runs the con suite where all the food is, she was having a particularly rough year that year. And we thought we'd not play a joke, but like, you know, play a joke, but in good fun, like not something that would make her stressed out about anything. It was really just go take a picture in the con suite room in a place that we technically weren't really supposed to be in when she wasn't there because it was closed. So it was Saturday night. Everyone was well and truly lubricated. The head of HR comes over to me and is like, hey, shenanigans, come with me. And I'm like, okay. She's also my Aes Sedai at Targon.net. I'm a brown warder. So as we're running through the dance floor, I see Wilson Grooms, who is Robert Jordan's, he called him his brother, but it's his cousin, who he is also sadly passed away at this point, but he was a great dude, and F cancer. But we grabbed him up, and then also that year's guest of honor, who was his name is Chuck Gannon. He's a sci-fi author, also a really fun dude. So we grabbed them up and then other people that we knew and ran up to the con suite. So it was the year, it was the hot dog year for anyone who was there that year, they'll remember. And when you go to JordanCon, there will inevitably be people that bring up hot dogs in some way as a joke. And it is referenced to this year when something happened with the food order and the store didn't have enough food and they just gave us hot dogs. Lots, lots of hot
Wait,
dogs.
Just, so like just wieners, like that's it.
Yes, yes. But well, the buns too. But
oh, like, okay. All right, good. I thought of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. We had other food planned, but it was just like all the food was hot dogs, and it was crazy. There was so many, and they were huge hot dogs. It was hilarious. There was a lot of fun had that year. We went up to the room and we took some pictures, you know, posing around the room with. Again, Wilson and Chuck and like a couple other people. And then we're all standing there kind of munching on snacks. And we noticed that we're all on one side of the table. And then someone said, it's like the Last Supper. And then we're like, oh, we have to do this now. So mm-hmm. then we set up as a picture. Like we pulled up the Last Supper and everyone positioned themselves around the table. And then we didn't send her that picture. We sent no one that picture. Then during closing ceremonies of JordanCon, we gave it to the person who was running the AV tech, and we told Jen that there was a picture that they wanted to share. So just like, you know, after they do their initial introductions at closing ceremonies, say, oh, the communications team wants to share this picture from the convention with everybody as like a thank you or whatever. And it was that picture. And that was when Jen saw that, the woman that ran the con suite. So that was pretty funny. And that also became like a shtick that we did, shenanigans. Now we do shenanigans mm-hmm. every year. So if you hear people talking about shenanigans, you want to follow them.
Yes, Ebony told us about the shenanigans. So that's definitely something that still happens. Something about what you just said really caught my ear when you were talking about someone made the comment, oh, it looks like the Last Supper. And then immediately you all were like, well, we have to do it now. That's like, that's been one of our sort of, I don't know what we'd call it, standards or philosophies our MO on the lights work is like, when we say something like that, then like we have to do it. You can't say it and not do it. So that's definitely part of the idea of like going above and beyond and doing what you need to do to make sure people have fun and, you know, do things that are meaningful like that. But, you know, we also talk about like people doing really nice things for each other. And I'm sure you have a million examples of this because you talked about knowing people for 20 years and people being in your wedding, things like that. But can you think of an example from the past, you know, maybe from a JordanCon where someone did the lights work for you?
For me personally? Oh, wow. Other than getting a character in the book?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big one.
Yeah. Man, actually, yes. Yes, absolutely. So, and this is actually a twofer. So, 2012, Hurricane Sandy hit the northeast of the United States. I was living, I'm from New York, and I had lived in New York my whole life up until like 8 years ago, 9 years ago when we moved to Florida. But I was living there at the time when Hurricane Sandy hit, and I lived on Long Island on the ocean. Yeah, we had like 9 feet of water in the house. Like a 40-foot boat went by our house in the street.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. We didn't have power for a month. We lost our car, lots of stuff. It was crazy. That weekend was also 18th Annie or 17th Annie, which is what the Tarvalon.net calls their anniversary. So it's their anniversary, the anniversary of the founding of Tarvalon.net. And it was in Manhattan. We had, you know, people that were going to come and stay with us. And we were, you know, I had actually planned to propose to my wife at that event. Like I had a whole thing planned. They were going to do a tour around the Statue of Liberty at night on like a cruise. And I was going to do it there. But obviously that didn't happen because, you know, there were no tunnels into Manhattan. they were completely filled with water. The gathering still happened because most of Manhattan was fine, except mm-hmm. for like lower Manhattan. But, you know, obviously none of the people could come stay with us and we couldn't get out of Long Island, let alone go to a thing like that. But at the thing, people found out that we had lost our car and we were struggling, and they did a collection. And one of my friends called and was like, listen, I was elected to call you, but I'm the only person you're going to know who was involved in this. We did a collection. How can I send you money? Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was amazing. 'Cause like at the time, you know, we were actually getting ready to buy the house that we were living in, and obviously that didn't happen, and work was crazy and life was crazy, and that was huge. So they ended up, I think they gave us like $7,000 or $8,000. It was amazing. And that was how we put a down payment on a car. That was how we got a new car after that. And it was because of all of the, it was all people that we met through JordanCon, through Tarvalon.net, Wheel of Time community. That's who it was, because they did a collection at the event that they were at. And yeah, that was huge. That was huge. That was really big for us because we were kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of altruism tied to the Wheel of Time community. And I think that has a lot to do with, again, the content of the books, you know, being a servant of all and an Aes Sedai and community and things like that. It runs deep within the fan community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think off the top of my head at least three or four, since I've been part of the fandom, three or four different fundraisers for people's medical bills, people's homes that were damaged, people to get to certain conventions that can't make it for whatever reason. Like, people have just been so, so generous. And, you know, it's the power of many, right? Like, I can't afford to cover a whole convention, but I can contribute a little bit. And if everybody contributes a little bit, then can really make a difference for someone. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing those stories. It's always great to have people on the podcast who've been around since the very beginning, because, you know, we can see these threads that are the same, you know, from the very beginning until now. Like, the fandom has been this way. So it's very validating to see. Thanks for being with us, Tom. We are going to start to wrap up, but as we promised you, we do have some rapid questions for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So yeah, these are very quick one word answers, yes or no, or just one thing. First thing that comes to mind, don't have to think too hard about it.
Okay.
All right.
Favorite Wheel of Time book?
A Memory of Light.
Favorite Wheel of Time character?
Moiraine Damodred.
Perrin, Matt, or Rand?
Perrin. Definitely Perrin.
Min, Elaine, or Avienda?
Avienda.
Favorite episode or scene from the TV series?
Oh, man. The scene in Shadow Logoth when Matt gives Perrin the dagger.
The lights work. Okay. Favorite actor on the show?
Man, that's tough. That's tough. I gotta say Rosamund. Like, Moiraine, like I said earlier, has been my favorite from the beginning, and she is who I see now when I read the books.
Favorite new character in season 2?
Oh, Avienda, absolutely. Like, she's had two of my favorite things. Absolutely, is Avienda.
Nice, awesome.
Ayula, she's great.
So I think you might have, we have a theories section of this, and I think you might have even started this theory. So tell us your official opinion. Is Maxim a dark friend?
I might have, actually, because I posted that thing. I kind of cheated because, you know, I got the episodes early. So I had that picture of him with his thumb out ready to go when that episode, I was like, oh, I want to post it right now. I want him to be, only just because it would be so interesting to see how they marry the story up and what they do with it. Like, the coolest part about the show for me has been being excited about the Wheel of Time again, in the sense of, like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also on the edge of my seat waiting to see what happens. Right. And I kind of want it to be true. I think yes, based off of a couple of other scenes, not just the thumb scene, but yeah.
Talking about Alana's warders, where is Ivan?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, like, I was so distracted at the last couple of episodes with so much going on. Heartbreak, amazing scenes, and, you know, dissecting all of the Heroes of the Horns costumes and everything. I don't know, man. Honestly, I have put no time into thinking about that. And I think that's an answer in and of itself.
he'll be back. That's
Oh, definitely. No, yeah, he's not gone.
He'll just be back.
Yeah, honestly, if I had to give a real answer, it would probably just be the actor probably just wasn't available for whatever shots they had to do, and they just hoped that it wasn't, like, really noticed that much.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you, Tom. Why should Wheel of Time fans watch Avatar: The Last Airbender?
Oh, there are shameless plug. We're watching on our Monday shows. We rewatch TV shows, and we're currently rewatching book two of the animated series of Avatar. And because everything inevitably gets tied back to the Wheel of Time, we've noticed so many similarities, so many. But if you like deep character-driven stories, you'll love Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like, not only is it amazing, like, choreography and the martial arts, like if you're into, like, you know, really interesting martial arts and magic systems and things like that that have logic and rules that you know, follows their own rules and then, like, kind of subverts those rules but in a way that still makes sense, Avatar: The Last Airbender. Deep narrative driven story, Avatar: The Last Airbender. One of the best redemption arcs for a character in anything I've ever taken in, be it book, television show, movie, anything. And then the found family trope of, like, you know, Matt, Perrin, Rand, Min, Elaine, Avienda, Egwene, Nynaeve, Lan, Marin, very evident also in the Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's very, very much so there as well.
Is there a wedding crashing murderous ex that's in the
yes, yes there is. Yes.
Oh,
there
wow.
Is.
It's, okay. It's
in a different sense. They're not a murderous ex, they're a murderous sister, but they are there and they fill that role very, very much so.
Nice.
That's like your criteria for whatever media you're going to consume next. It has to have that type of character.
Exactly.
Oh, and she's there. She's very much so there.
Well, we have come full circle back to what we talked about in the beginning. The reason we're asking Tom about Avatar: The Last Airbender is that he has a very adorable Momo plushie on his chair right behind him. And so Anas and I brought out our plushies. I think we'll maybe not tell you which plushies we each have.
Guess.
You have to guess. Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I am now extra hyped for JordanCon after talking to you. I hope that people listening will also feel that way. Is there any last words you want to leave people with before we wrap up?
This is an ending. This isn't the ending, but it is an ending. And I can't wait to see everyone at JordanCon every year. You know, every year I go in thinking, you know, another JordanCon, I'm going to go see my friends. And every year I have some sort of crazy thing that happens that's a ton of fun, or new people that I meet that I end up becoming really great friends with and seeing throughout the year. It's every year I am reminded why going to JordanCon is so much fun and so necessary, and why I keep doing it every year, and how fantastic the Wheel of Time fandom really is.
Yeah. I mean, if you need only Uno reason to go to Jordan Con, there it was.
Wow. Wow. Well, I can't top that, so I think I'm going to leave it there. If you like what we do here at The Lights Work, please follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at LightsWorkPod, on Instagram at The Lights Work. You can check out our website, lightswork.com. You can also join our Patreon or our Discord server. We would love to see you there. And until next time, it's your turn to go out into the world and do The Lights Work. The Lights Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Lights Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.